there, friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. This is Marty coming to you live from Adelaide, and I'm joined in the studio today by Pastor Justin. Today, we are looking at a subject that deserves a thoughtful response. We're looking at the question, are the Ten Commandments still relevant to the third millennium? You know, I recently heard a story, I recently heard a story of Pastor Doug Batchelor, and he was giving a presentation on the Ten Commandments when a minister of another church stood up and said, "Preacher, you're trying to put this people under the law. We're under grace." Well, Pastor Doug replied, "Are you saying that we don't need to keep the Ten Commandments?" The minister replied, "We don't need to keep the Ten Commandments because we're under grace." Well, when he said that, several members of his own church who were in the audience actually started to murmur and say, "You know, well, we don't agree with our pastor on that one." So then the minister replied and he sort of took a step back and he said, "Well, we do need to keep some of the commandments, but we definitely don't need to keep the Sabbath because it's been done away with." Then Pastor Doug said, "Are you saying that the only commandment that we should forget about is the one that begins with the word remember?" Pastor Justin, it seems to me that there's a lot of confusion around the issue of the Ten Commandments. Are Christians supposed to keep them? Have they been done away with? Why do you think there's so much confusion about the subject of the Ten Commandments?
Yes, good day, Marty. It's good to be back on the show. Yeah, there is a lot of confusion regarding the Ten Commandments. I think it comes down to, how do you harmonize grace with law? Are they mutually exclusive? Or can the gospel operate on the basis that God is a God of grace and mercy, but he's also a God that requires us to be obedient? And I think it comes down to the issue of obedience. How and what is the role of obedience in the life of a believer? So it's a great subject, great topic, and I think it's really worthwhile for us to have an in-depth look into the law of God.
This is a great topic, and I agree. Excuse me. I think it's great that we're looking into this one today. You know, as we come to our World Watch, I actually picked up an article from Billy Graham. And in this article, this is actually from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And it's under Billy Graham, My Answer. And so here's the question. Are the Ten Commandments found in the Bible, or did some church make them up? I've heard of them all my life, but I don't come from a religious family, so I've never had an opportunity to study them. Are they still important? Here's the answer that Billy Graham gave. He said, yes, the Ten Commandments are still important. You'll find them in the Old Testament, in brackets, the part of the Bible that tells us what God did before Jesus Christ came into the world. You'll find them in two places, Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. The Bible tells us God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, who led the ancient Israelites after they'd been freed from slavery and were headed toward the land God had promised them. The Ten Commandments were given so that they would know how to live, and God promised that if they followed them, their lives would be blessed. Moses said, "Walk in obedience to all that the Lord, your God, has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days." Deuteronomy 5:33. Although they were given many centuries ago, the Ten Commandments are still valid. And our lives and our world would be far better if we followed them. The first ones deal with our responsibilities toward God, to put him first in our lives and not allow anything to take his rightful place. The latter ones deal with our responsibilities towards others, to avoid stealing, murder, immorality, greed, and so forth. But the Ten Commandments are important for another reason. They point to our need for God's forgiveness and help. No one lives up to them perfectly, and that's why we need Jesus. Don't let your past hold you back, but begin a new life today by asking Jesus to forgive and help you. So I think that that's a pretty solid response there, Pastor Justin. And, you know, as you listen to what Billy Graham's saying here, you know, I mean, this is what he wrote. This is what he said. He actually starts by saying, yes, the Ten Commandments are still important. Mm. And then he also, which I really appreciate, points out that these Ten Commandments didn't in fact originate in a church. They actually come from the Bible itself.
Mm.
And then I think I love what he says when he says the Ten Commandments are still valid.
Mm.
And our lives and our world would be far better if we followed them. You know, it seems that, you know, Billy Graham was solid on the importance of the Ten Commandments. And so it seems to be quite odd that even many Christians today seem to be negative towards the Ten Commandments. And why do you think that that could be, Pastor Justin?
You know, the idea that there could be a lawless gospel is a totally ridiculous idea. You know, the fact that God has an eternal, immutable law that is the basis of his government and the reflection of his character is very clear in the scriptures. And I think it comes down to this idea of how do you marry the idea of grace and law? Can they coexist together? Because I think in the minds of many Christians, the idea that there is a law that God requires obedience, this militates against the whole notion of a God of grace. But I think if you can understand the gospel, and I think that is the key, what is the gospel? What does the gospel teach? That in the gospel, law and grace go together. And I think that is the heart, that is the crux of the matter. Because, you know, I've been in discussions with many Christians over the years and, you know, those that don't believe in the law. And the moment you say that, you know, I believe that the law is valid, you get accused of being legalistic. Oh, you're a legalist. But I try and explain to them what the gospel is. And I don't believe that the Bible teaches that there is a lawless gospel. But I believe that the Bible teaches that there is a God who is holy, who has revealed to us his will. But he knows that we of ourselves cannot keep it. And that's why he extends his grace to us. And I don't believe that obedience to the law of God is a requirement of salvation. It's not. But I believe that it produces obedience. If we walk with Christ and we accept Christ, then that produces a life of obedience. It's the fruit.
I like what you're saying there, Pastor Justin, that God's law and God's grace actually go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, And in other words, God actually does have a way for us to live, but he also has mercy for us when we fall short of how he's called us to live. You know, I'm just looking up a text here in Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, and he goes on through to verse 19. I'll read from Matthew 5, verse 17 to 19. Jesus is speaking, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And so Jesus is very emphatic here, Pastor Justin. He says he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. And then he even says that someone who thinks that breaking just a small commandment is not a big deal. Jesus says, no, that it is a big deal. And those who break even the least of the commandments would be considered least in the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
And then there is honor given to those who actually keep the commandments. And so, Justin, I think that, you know, I see this as a very clear verse where Jesus himself is upholding the importance of obedience to God's law.
Well, the book of Isaiah actually predicted that when the Messiah would come, he would magnify the law. I will find that verse, but there's a verse in Messiah, in Isaiah, that speaks about the messianic mission of Jesus. And one of the things that Jesus would do would to be magnifying the law of God. And actually, Jesus does that right here. In fact, Jesus shows that the law of God reaches far further than just our outward actions, but it reaches the innermost thoughts and motives of the heart. And so Jesus here is not abolishing it or abrogating the law of God, but he's actually exalting it and showing how powerful and profound the law is in our daily lives.
And I suppose, you know, the reason you're saying that, Pastor Justin, is because as the chapter continues, Jesus, you know, gives several examples of what it really means to keep God's law. He says, look, it's not the Bible, the law of God says you shall not murder. But then Jesus says, but even if you're angry with someone without a cause, it's like you've committed murder in your heart. And so this is that heart level that Jesus was referring to, that it's not merely enough just to say, look, I keep the commandment because I don't murder. But if I carry hatred and bitterness and resentment towards other individuals in my heart, then I'm going against the spirit of the law.
Correct.
And so I agree. Jesus did not come to do away with God's law. In fact, Jesus, the Bible says that he lived a life of obedience. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Bible says that sin is the transgression of God's law. Mm-hmm. So if Jesus had broken God's law, then he would have been a sinner. And the fact that Christ didn't do that is what uniquely qualified him to be our Savior. But I do appreciate the fact that what you're also saying is that we're not saved by keeping God's law.
No.
And because the Bible says, by grace you have been saved. But I suppose I would ask the question, does being saved by God's grace, would that lead me to want to keep God's law, or would that lead me to want to do away with God's law?
That's a good question, Pastor Marty. I believe that when a sinner comes to Christ and accepts him as his Savior and Lord, that he will recognize that he falls far short of the glory of God. One of the Puritans said this famous quote, I think it was, or one of the Protestant reformers, I don't know who it is, but it says this: the law shows how crooked I am, but grace straightens me out. So the work of the law is not to bring salvation, but to reveal the sinful desires and passions of our corrupt hearts. And so, you know, Jesus is the one who gives us the balm of grace to heal us and restore us. And so this is very important that we understand that God knows that we cannot obey the law in our own strength. It is impossible. But when we are regenerated and we experience a genuine conversion experience, I believe that through the grace of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that he gives us the power and the will to now walk in his ways, in his will, and in his word.
This is a great conversation, I think, that we're having. And I really sense, Pastor Justin, that this is one of the key issues facing Christians today. This question of, do we really need to keep the law? Is it even possible? Does God actually, you know, what role do the Ten Commandments play in our lives today? I'm really enjoying the conversation. We're going to be back after this music. And this is Bart Millard with two songs, My Jesus, I Love Thee, and Tis So Sweet. Hope you enjoy.
My Jesus, I love thee, and I know thou art mine. For thee sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art thou. If Jesus, 'tis now. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, I trust Him. How I've proved it, Lord,
is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time. This is Marty coming to you live from Adelaide, and I'm joined in the studio by Pastor Justin. Before we get back into our discussion about the Ten Commandments today, I want to let you know that we have a free resource that is on offer today. This book is among my top picks when it comes to books on this topic. It's called The Ten Commandments Twice Removed by Danny Shelton and Shelley Quinn. There's testimonies of people who've read this book who've absolutely had it's had a profound impact on their faith journey. It clears up many of the questions about, you know, do we still need to keep the Ten Commandments? Are they still relevant for us today? This book, Ten Commandments Twice Removed, is available to our Faith FM listeners free All you've got to do is text us the code and we'll get you this book as soon as we can. So our studio number is 0488 808 11. That number one more time is 0488 808 11. And just text us the code SA409, just 5 digits, SA409. And we will get you a free copy of this book, 10 Commandments Twice Removed by Danny Shelton and Shelley Quinn. This is just such a good resource. You've got to have this book because it answers so many of the questions around the 10 Commandments. And Pastor Justin, may I just say, I really believe that, you know, I've read that the great sin of the Jews was that they rejected the Messiah, but the great sin of the Christian world is that they would reject the law of God. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a pretty serious thing. Mm-hmm. And when we come to the book of Revelation, it describes God's people in the end times as those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And so I think we've got to sort this question out around the 10 commandments. We've got to be clear on it. And so, friends, I just really want to encourage you, grab this book. Once again, the code to get this book, The 10 Commandments Twice Removed, send us the code SA409, just 5 digits, no gaps in between. Send that code to 0488 808 11, and we would love to get you this free resource. It's our passion and our dedication and our commitment here at Faith FM to present God's word in the clearest way possible. Pastor Justin, we are talking about the 10 commandments today. Are they still relevant? Do we need to keep them? What else do you have to share with us on this topic?
You know, Pastor Marty, there's tremendous amount of confusion in the Christian world when it comes to the law of God. Many believe that the 10 commandments are antiquated and simply outdated, and it has no relevance to us today. That we live in an age of grace, and therefore the law is no longer useful nor necessary. That for some other reason, that God doesn't require us to keep the law anymore because we live in the dispensation of grace.
You know, what would you say to someone if they said, look, Pastor Justin, all we really need to do is love people. We don't really need to worry about the Ten Commandments. What would your response be to that question or to that statement?
All right. So I want to go to the actual commandments, and I'm just going to summarize them very, very briefly. And I want us to go through each commandment, but I'm just going to summarize. I'm not going to be reading from Exodus 20, verse 1 to 17, or Deuteronomy 5. So let's just look at the commandments, and I want us to notice that there's something that really brings all the commandments together, all right? So the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment, you shall not make for yourself any carved image to worship. The third commandment is, you will not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And then we come to the fifth commandment, which is, honor your father and your mother. The sixth commandment is, you shall not murder. The seventh commandment is, you shall not commit adultery. The eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. The ninth commandment is, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And the final commandment, the tenth one, is, you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, notice with me, Pastor Marty, that each and every one of these commandments is deeply relational.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can see that.
Every single one of them is relational in its application and its circumference.
Yeah, these are not just arbitrary laws that God has just come up with. These are actually, there's a purpose behind these laws.
Correct. So it's not just rules and regulations that God has given us, but each and every one of them are given for the specific purpose of enhancing and protecting and safeguarding healthy, wholesome relationships with God, first of all, and then with man. Because notice with me, the first four commandments is that vertical with God,
mm-hmm.
and then the last six is our horizontal relationships with our fellow man. And so because all the commandments are deeply entrenched in a relational quality, what do you need? What is the main ingredient to have good, healthy relationships?
I would say you need love.
You need love. Okay, so let's go to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40.
All right.
Matthew 22 is a great and profound teaching of Jesus. And there was a lawyer that approached Jesus, and he asked this question in Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. Pastor Marty, do you want to read that?
Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
So the law of love undergirds the Ten Commandments. So in other words, if love is the principle of the Ten Commandments, then the Ten Commandments is the practical outworking of that love. As we demonstrate our love to God in worshiping Him, putting Him first, not taking His name in vain. And then in the second part of the Ten Commandments, in not committing adultery, not stealing, not coveting, and so forth and so on. And so love is the basis upon which all the commandments are built upon. And so this is very clear from Jesus himself. And it's interesting in Galatians 5 verse 14, and I do believe that Paul further expands on this whole idea of love and the law. He says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in a single decree, love your neighbor as yourself." Isn't that profound?
This is very powerful. And I like what you're saying there, Pastor Justin, that if I love my neighbor, well, I'm not going to murder them. I'm not going to be unfaithful.
Precise.
I'm not going to steal from them. I'm not going to lie about them. So if I love them, I will then fulfill the law by actually keeping it. Or if I love God, I'm not going to put something else ahead of Him. I'm not going to worship an idol. I'm not going to take His name in vain. I'm not going to, you know, dishonor His holy Sabbath. I'm going to, because if I love Him, I'm going to actually do the things that demonstrate that love.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is such an important point. In fact, Paul said it this way in Romans 13 verse 10. Romans 13 verse 10. Well, let me read Romans 13 verse 8, 9, and 10. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another." Okay, so that's great. And I think a lot of people would just love it if it was a full stop. That there was the end of the story. But Paul actually defines what this love is in action. All right, where he says, "For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, and you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 10, "Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." And so when we practice this selfless love, now notice with me that all these commandments are selfless. They're not selfish because it's looking out for others. It's putting God first, and it's honoring my fellow man as myself. And so it says, you know, that love actually honors the law. It fulfills the law of God. And so when we practice love, we reflect the character of God before others.
I think this is very clear because the Bible even says that God is love. So how could we imagine that God's law is anything but love? You know, God's law, if God is love, then surely his law is also love. And it's like that, you know, that popular Christmas carol that we sing at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. His law is love and his gospel is peace. So this to me makes perfect sense that God's law is a law of love. And when I actually am loving God and loving others, that's actually keeping God's law.
Correct. You know, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God." And so, you know, love leads us to the law, and the law protects love because it defines how love is to be lived out.
I like that. It's like a guardrail. It's like a boundary.
That's right.
To protect relationships.
So there's a divine symbiosis between them. They both are interrelated, interconnected with each other. You cannot separate, you know, God's law of love from his law. It's one and the same thing. So, you know, this idea that you can love one another and you can love God without obeying the law of God is a misnomer. This is fallacious thinking. This is very misleading.
You know, the Ten Commandments, just jumping in, Pastor Justin, they sort of remind me a bit of a marriage vow. You know, when you stand at the altar and I made vows to my wife that, you know, I will do these things and I won't do these things because I love you. That's the commitment that I'm making. And the Ten Commandments are actually God's covenant, you know, with us. That's his vow. He's vowed to be our God. He's vowed to deliver us, you know, and save us. And he says, and here's how I want you to relate to me as well. So there's a vow that we make in a sense. And it's actually interesting when you look at the first four commandments, because, you know, the first commandment, you know, is about exclusivity. You know, you shall have no other gods before me. When we enter into a marriage relationship, we say, I'm not going to be with anybody else. I'm only going to be yours. It's exclusive. You know, the second commandment is about, you know, not worshiping idols, and we worship with our bodies. You know, we bow down to things, and when we are married, we also say, I'm going to keep my body only for you, right? The third commandment is about our words, because it says, don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. And when we're married, we make a vow to speak words that will strengthen the relationship. And then the fourth commandment is about time. You know, God says, you know, keep the Sabbath day holy, because time is essential for that relationship. And again, when we stand at the marriage altar and commit in a marriage relationship, we say, hey, I'm going to invest time into this relationship. So, you know, our exclusivity, our body, our words, our time is all to be invested in the right way in our relationship with God. And so the way I picture the Ten Commandments is exactly what you're saying. This is the framework that God has actually shown us how to have a successful relationship with him.
I love the analogy that you use, Pastor Marty, that we are in spiritual wedlock with Christ. And so the law actually is not against us, but it actually works out for us, because now we seek to honor God in the way that we use our time with our bodies and what we say in our thoughts, putting him first. And so, you know, it's not being legalistic to say that we must obey God's law. Not at all. So I think we need to look a little bit on the question over the ceremonial and moral laws. So should we have a break and then we'll look into
Let's do that. You know, I love, once again, I think this is a golden conversation showing that God's law and his love go hand in hand. When we come back, we're going to deal with, well, what about, you know, are there some laws that we do not need to keep? Are the Ten Commandments still valid today? We've got a song here. It's called Written Down in Stone. I'm sure you're going to enjoy the words of this song. It's a really powerful one. God bless.
The law is just and the law is right,
and it's written my God in soul.
The law is love, and the law is life,
and it's written, my God in soul.
I will follow His commandments, I'll abide in Him alone. For His law is my delight, it's written down in stone. Oh, it's written down in stone. The law is holy, the law is pure,
and it's written by God in stone.
The law is faithful, forever sure,
and it's written by God in stone. I will follow His commandments, I'll abide in my delight, it's written down in stone. Oh, it's written down in stone.
The law brought fire, and the law brought flood. Judgment from a holy God, but the Lord showed mercy when He sent His Son, who bought my pardon with this prayer.
Down in Stone by Nathan Young. That's part of the Pillars of Our Faith series of songs. Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time. This is Marty coming to you live from Adelaide, and I'm joined in the studio by Pastor Justin. We've been talking about the Ten Commandments today. Are they still relevant for Christians today? Friends, if you want to claim a free resource, we've got a fantastic book on offer today. It's called The Ten Commandments Twice Removed by Danny Shelton and Shelley Quinn. And it's great. We've had a number of requests come in already, quite a large number of requests come in. And I'm so thrilled about that, because I believe that this issue of the Ten Commandments and whether they're still relevant today is one of the biggest questions that we need to have a solid answer for. You know, I think of the fact that it was actually the wife of the general who started the Salvation Army Church, and she actually said that if we get this issue of God's law wrong, it could cost us our salvation. And so I believe that this is absolutely vital. So friends, if you want to get your free copy of the book, The Ten Commandments Twice Removed by Danny Shelton and Shelley Quinn, all you've got to do is text our drive time number. And our drive time number is 0488 808 11. Simply text us the code SA409 to 0488 808 11, and we will get you this book in the fastest way possible. Once again, the code is SA409, and the text number, the studio number, is 0488 808 11. Be sure to get yourself a free copy of this book, The Ten Commandments Twice Removed. Did see some codes come in that were SA408. That'll get you last week's resource, and that's great. But if you want this week's resource, you've got to text the code SA409 to our studio number. Pastor Justin, it's good to be talking about such a relevant topic today, the Ten Commandments. We just started to raise the issue of the ceremonial law. And so what do you have to say to us about, you know, this issue of, because sometimes this is raised, you know, no, the New Testament says that the law is done away with. You don't need to keep the law anymore. And so what do you have to share with us on that subject?
I think there's a lot of confusion when it comes to the law of God, that they clump it, many Christians clump it together with the ceremonial laws and they throw it out altogether. But when you study the Bible, you'll realize very quickly that there is a distinct difference between the ceremonial laws and the moral law of God. So the ceremonial law, in a nutshell, were basically rules and regulations and ordinances that God gave to the nation of Israel through Moses. Moses wrote them down, and they found in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they were basically designed to govern the religious and ceremonial practices of the nation of Israel, setting them apart from the other nations around them. And these had to do with sacrifices, festivals, and purification rites. Now, the Bible is very clear on this, that Jesus came to do away with all those sacrificial and ceremonial laws. We find this in, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 15. Over there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, who has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." And so, which law? The law contained in the ordinances. Now, I want us to read also Colossians. Pastor Marty, if you could read that, Colossians chapter 2, and from verses 14 to 17.
"Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ."
So which law is Paul speaking and teaching about here? Is he speaking about the moral law or the sacrificial laws or the ceremonial laws?
I believe it's clear that he's referring to the ceremonial laws, these laws that spoke about things like animal sacrifices. And I think it's fascinating that Paul actually uses the word shadow here in Colossians. And he only does that one other time in the entire New Testament. And it's over in Hebrews. And I wonder if I can quickly just read Hebrews chapter 10, because this is the only other place where we get this idea of a shadow connected with law. And in Hebrews 10, it says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. And if I jump down to verse 4, it says this, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins.
Mm.
So in other words, Paul, when he talks about the shadow, and that makes sense, he refers to these animal sacrifices as a shadow, because a shadow gives you a basic outline,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't give you the actual thing.
The substance.
And so the animal sacrifices gave us an idea of what Jesus would do. They showed us that there would be someone innocent dying for the guilty, and that the sin would be taken from the sinner and transferred onto the innocent, you know, victim. And this really pointed forward to what Jesus would do on the cross, but it wasn't the actual thing, if that makes sense.
That's a great point, Pastor Marty. If I go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 2, there's one word that binds these two verses together. And I looked a little bit at the Greek, and the Greek word for ordinance, in Ephesians 2 verse 15, the Greek word for ordinance is dogma. I looked it up today, dogma.
Hmm.
And would you know that in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14, the same Greek word is used, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements.
That must be dogma.
That word requirements in the original yes. Greek is exactly the same word for ordinances in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 15.
That's so, a fascinating connection.
So that one word binds us two verses together. And what does dogma mean? Now, if you go to the Greek definition, if you go to the dictionary, it means ceremonial and civil ordinances. It means decrees, dogmas and decrees.
Yeah.
It's not the moral law of God. So it's related to the laws that relate to sacrifices and civil ordinances. As Paul himself says in Colossians, when he says, let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regarding a festival or new moons or Sabbaths. And this is not the weekly Sabbath, by the way.
No.
This is the, you know, during the festivals, there were high Sabbaths when it fell, even on a day in the week that was regarded as a Sabbath. And that's why he says Sabbaths. And so it's very interesting that the whole sacrificial system, all the ceremonial laws, all foreshadowed Christ and his great sacrifice. And this is why today we don't have to slaughter bulls and bullocks and lambs. We don't have to do that. Why? Because Jesus,
it's been taken away.
Jesus has taken it away.
It's been
in
fulfilled
his
in Christ.
Exactly. And so we have to be very clear on this. God does not want us to go back in time and become ceremonial Jews. Okay. No, we're not saying that. What we are saying is that the sacrificial system, the ceremonial laws, all were fulfilled in Christ. And this is why when Jesus died at the cross in the Gospel of
yes.
Matthew, it mentions that the veil was rent in twain. It was in two, which meant that no longer were the sacrifices accepted by God in the Jewish temple, because Jesus is the Lamb of God, the
yes.
antitypical Lamb of God that died on the cross. And so all those sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus.
I love, there's a text that to me just makes this very clear. First Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19. And Paul is writing here and he makes this very clear distinction between the ceremonial law and the moral law. And in 1 Corinthians 7:19, this text is worth writing down. And it says, circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. So very clearly, Paul recognized that things like circumcision and uncircumcision and animal sacrifice, etc., was no longer necessary for the Christian. But then he says, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. And so in other words, to the Apostle Paul, the commandments of God were on a very different level to the ceremonial laws. And I think that that's quite obvious even by, you know, just observing the fact that the Ten Commandments are written by God himself on tablets of stone.
And spoken with his voice.
And spoken with his voice. Whereas the, you know, the ceremonial law was, of course, written by Moses on parchment, on, you know, sort of on papyrus or on animal skins, etc.
And in the sanctuary was put beside the Ark of the Covenant, not inside.
Yeah. So exactly. So the Ten Commandments are put physically inside the Ark of the Covenant, distinguishing them from the ceremonial laws, which were put on the outside. And so the Bible makes this distinction very clear. And I think that, you know, that's quite clear to me that, yeah, the Ten Commandments are not, have not been done away with. The fact that God wrote them with his finger on stone is, was God actually giving a message that, hey, this is permanent, this is immutable, this is eternal.
Absolutely. You know, in the book of Revelation 22 verse 14, this is one of the last verses in the Bible. In Revelation 22 verse 14, the Bible says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. We were barred from eating the tree of life because we sinned against God. We broke his holy law. The Bible is very clear in Romans that where there is no law, there can be no sin. And so sin is transgression of the law. And so the only way that we can ever have right to have access to the tree of life is if we obey the commandments of God. Now, let me be very clear. We cannot do in our own strength, in our own power. We are absolutely fallible. We are frail. We are weak. We need Jesus. And so the beauty of the gospel is when we accept Christ as our personal savior, his blood cleanses us. The cloak of righteousness covers us, and his obedience is credited to our account. And there's also a work of transformation where now no longer do we regard the law as being vindictive or being against us, but we want to honor God by walking in his law. So the Bible is very clear. There is no such thing as a lawless gospel, but there's a gospel that harmonizes law and grace together.
You know, the Bible tells us very clearly, as you're saying, Pastor Justin, that Christ died for our sins, that that he gives us this free gift of eternal life. You know, there's no amount of law keeping that could ever earn that for us. It's given to us freely. But when we receive that gift of grace, we actually love Jesus. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Mm. So when we see what Jesus has done for us and his love touches our hearts, we want to do what pleases him. We want to do what honors him. And I don't know what, I'm sure this has been your experience too, Pastor Justin. I found that when I actually surrender my life to Christ and say, Lord, have your way in my life, and I actually allow him to work in my life so that I live in harmony with his law, not perfectly, but yes, I allow God to work in my heart so that I desire to keep God's law and I actually choose to, life is so much better.
Amen.
Life is so much better.
Amen.
You know, I mean, we can't come up with a better way to live than what God has given us in his moral law.
His law safeguards our happiness.
It does. It gives us that framework. You know, this is very powerful. And perhaps, Pastor Justin, as we're talking about this, someone today is listening and sensing that, yes, I do want to keep God's law, but I struggle. I feel weak. I don't think I can do it. Would you be willing to just pray and let's ask the Lord to just strengthen our faith, all of us, as we move forward?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus who came to show us a better way to live. Thank you that the law of God is a selfless law. It's not about selfish desires, but it's looking out for others. It's putting you first and loving our neighbors as ourselves. And Father, I pray that by your grace, through your power, that you will help us to honor the law and to look upon the law as our friend. Mm. And so, Father, please bless our listeners, each one of us. Lord, help us to realize that Jesus is coming soon. And help us, Lord, to live in obedience to your law. And when we fall short, that you will cover us with the beautiful righteousness of Jesus. is my prayer in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love that promise where Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Friends, our time is up for today, and I want to thank you for joining us for Drive Time today. Tomorrow, Pastor Gary and Pastor David are going to be answering the question, aren't the Ten Commandments only for the Jews? I think that that's going to be a really special and relevant topic. But until then, I want to leave you with the promise of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May God richly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.